Well, during this pandemic, of course, usage of social media has significantly increased as a way for people to keep in touch with one another. But something you may not have given much thought to, the millions of people with disabilities who can have a tough time understanding some of those social media posts. Which is the reason behind Global Accessibility Awareness Day, to promote digital accessibility and inclusion for all. Mike Shabanek is head of accessibility at Facebook. And Mike, what are some of the challenges that those with disabilities face in using social media like your platform, for example?
Well, I think sometimes when people post, they don't recognize that people with disabilities will be reading what they create. So we really want to just take a moment and explain to people some simple things they can do to make those posts more accessible. And that can be things like the way they use hashtags, how they post their photos or videos, or even the emoji that they attach to their posts.
So break those down for us a little bit. You say there are some best practices we can implement as social media users that will make things easier for those with some of these challenges, and actually easier for everybody to understand and get the most out of these posts.
Yeah, that's a great point. By practicing some of these tips, it does make it actually easy for everyone to read and take advantage of those posts. So, for example, if you're using hashtags, we typically write those all in lowercase letters, which for someone with a reading disability or someone using a screen reader can sound like alphabet soup. If you just capitalize the first letter of each word in the hashtag, it's easy to read and it's easy to pronounce, making it more accessible to a wider audience.
And, by the way, that doesn't affect the way the aggregators or the search tools identify those hashtags.
That's right. They'll work just as well as all uppercase or all lowercase,
yeah,
except they'll be more accessible.
Okay. You also mentioned emoji, and those certainly have become incredibly popular for users. Are you saying that we shouldn't use emoji, or what's the best way of using those characters?
Well, actually, we want to encourage you to use those emoji. In the old days, people would type them out as just plain text. Those were called emoticons.
Right.
And, of course, now we have these great little drawings, these little characters, and we want people to be able to use those. But there's maybe a reason why that people aren't familiar with, and that's because they're all encoded with short descriptions. So even people who are blind and visually impaired who can't see those emoji can still hear the description and understand how you're feeling about that post. So take advantage of that and just avoid typing those out as things like winks, where you have like a semicolon, a dash, and a parenthesis.
Okay, so basically, again, to kind of explain that, it when you do the semicolon slash parenthesis, then the screen reader for someone with vision impairment doesn't know how to interpret that, but the emoji, the system actually knows what to tell that user is there on the post.
That's exactly right. That emoji has in it the description, so that screen reader can describe it perfectly.
Now, by extension, obviously many people will post photos and videos. Again, for the visually impaired, is that something that just isn't translated, or how? What's the best way of handling something like that? Is there something more we should be doing as users to make those posts more accessible?
Yeah, there's a few things you can do that are really simple, and I think it would probably surprise a lot of people that the blind and visually impaired love photography. They love videos, just like the rest of us. So it's really up to us to make sure that those are accessible to them. And a simple way to do this with photography is just add something called an alt text or alternative text that describes what's going on in the picture. And it's something you can tack on right as you're creating that post. And we would recommend you keep those captions or those alt texts really short and descriptive. So instead of saying things like, hey, hanging out at home, you can add something more descriptive like making delicious cookies with mom. And that way people can enjoy those photographs even if they can't see them. For videos, just add captions for people who are deaf and hard of hearing so they can read what's being spoken in the video. And thankfully, most videos on Facebook are really short. So if you're not good at making captions or don't know how, that's okay. You can just type out a short little transcript and people can read along as they're watching that video.
You know, as we're talking about some of this, and we mentioned this is really good information to know if somebody in your circle of friends you know is hearing impaired or vision impaired, you know, again, the elderly, some of these things make it easier for the elderly to comprehend and take in these posts and so on. But these are also good good practices for businesses to keep in mind, especially maybe even more so for businesses because you don't know who all might be in your audience.
Yeah, that's a great point. Of course, businesses want to reach out to everyone as a potential customer, and so these are great guidelines for them as well. But I want to encourage you, too, because sometimes we think we know people around us very well, but it's not uncommon for people to have friends or coworkers or even sometimes family members that actually have a disability, but it's unseen, and so you don't know it. So following some of these guidelines is just a great way to make everything that you create more accessible to everyone.
Now, we mentioned many of the things that users can do, that you and I can do in order to make our posts more accessible to a wider audience. How does Facebook, within your internal workings, also help to make these posts and the Facebook experience a better experience for those with disabilities?
Well, as you can imagine, we're working on some really advanced technologies to try and to apply to this. And, for example, we've created some technology that allows computers to understand what's in a photograph so that it can be described. And so we're able to generate something called automatic alt text in some situations where someone might forget to add that alt text themselves. There's still a small description of what might be in that image. We're also providing a service called auto-generated captions. So when you upload a video, in many cases, you'll have a chance to ask Facebook to see if it can caption it for you.
Now, are some of those features, do they have to be turned on in a person's settings or something like that? I mean, those don't all happen automatically, right?
Well, some of those will be in the settings, and you can tune those for yourself. If you have a disability, you can activate those different assistive technologies built into your computer or your phone.
Okay.
And others will be right on the screen there as you're creating your post.
Okay. The reason I ask is because, again, obviously with everything that's been going on, there are a lot of people maybe jumping on social media that haven't been before because it is the kind of the go-to way for people to keep in touch. And again, these are things that you may want to dig a little deeper once you sign up or log in that can make the experience a little bit better. And you actually have much more information, tips, and so on the Facebook website. You have a section that goes through some of the accessibility options and best practices, correct?
That's right. People can come to facebook.com/accessibility to learn more about the tips we talked about today and some additional ones as well.
All right. We will link up to that on our webpage. Good stuff there. Mike Shabanek is head of accessibility at Facebook. Mike, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
For this Global Accessibility Awareness Day, go to goodmornings.net to learn more. And we're back in a moment as Good Mornings continues.